it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at Stateside Live for the Red October Rally. Hey, tomorrow, the first 2015 guests get a free Stateside Vodka cocktail starting at 2 p.m. Ooh. In honor of Stateside being founded right here in Philly in 2015. With us now, Ruben Amaro. Thank you for joining us, Rube.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. Every once in a while, you know, it's nice to come on to you guys.
Yeah.
With you guys. It's been a while.
Yeah, you don't hang out with us very much.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys are a little later on in the day than for me. You know?
You're in the JV show, too.
I do the JV show. That's correct. That's me.
This segment brought to you by Robin Ford, online at robinford.com. Where Robin, no, you're not. Where Robin Ford, Robin Ford, where cars and trucks are so cheap. Now, Rube, every Friday at 3:30, we do bring on Tornado Shapiro.
Ooh, I love Tornado.
Okay, for the weekend forecast. So as long as you're okay with that, we'll go
solid.
To Tornado
yeah,
now.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Tornado.
Hey, fellas, they get Ruben to scream at Middleton and demand that freaking trophy back. What a great party down the ballpark. Where else can you see the Blue Angels, the Green Berets, the Purple Helmets, the Black Panthers, and the exciting White all celebrating Red October? Music, please!
It's the game day forecast from the world's most accurate and famous meteorologist, Tornado Shapiro.
Right, bring those Dodgers on. You know, the last time the Dodgers were in town, Otani's parents were out in Ashburn Alley eating a ham and bean supper. Sitting out there with the rest of the Irish, it was O'Brien, O'Malley, O'Connor, O'Neill, O'Leary, O'Reilly, Otani, and oh, brother, there was fireworks after that meal.
I don't think Otani's Irish. I don't think he's Irish, Tornado.
Clear and cool tonight, low 51. Good sleeping. Yeah, Red October. We had a red-headed weather gal when I was over at Channel 48. Fanny Fire. Fanny was her name and her best asset. She even rolled out the red carpet for me. Come on.
Wow. Nailed it.
Yeah, well, back then, we didn't care if the carpet didn't match the drapes. Right, Ruben? Hello. That was the same night I got red lipstick on my Louisville Slugger.
Okay. All right. We might have to slow this one down. Yep.
Hey, we remember back at the Phillies block party back at 2022. It was me, Ike, Sarge Matthews, Jerry Royce, Vernon Odom, Ruben Amaro, Taco Amaro, and Cliff Lee. Right away, Ruben calls in Philippe Oman and makes him trade seats with Cliff Lee.
Ruben, is that true?
Yeah, very true. Okay. Very true.
Absolutely. Even Taco knows that it made no sense to trade Cliff Lee for Oman again. So we're all having a good time. Sarge grabs a stromboli and starts explaining how to jerk off the ball, let the pitcher jam you. And if it comes, it comes.
All right.
Sarge starts Cadillacing around with that big red fedora. But he drives a Ford Probe now, so it doesn't really work for him. You know, it's playoff time, and so you got to start looking out for some celebrities tomorrow. You never know, you could see a Miles Teller or an Eddie Munster. And you remember that one year they brought in the Octomom.
I do remember the Octomom.
She was promoting her new baseball movie, Eight Kids Out. Ike might have been in that one.
Oh.
And there's zero truth to the story that four of those kids look a lot like me. I did have a 50-50 shot.
Partly cloudy, partly sunny tonight. Yeah, Dodger blue. He needed the money.
Okay. Dice tornado.
Sunday, another beautiful day for the birds. Broncos, Denver coming in. Last time I flew in from the Mile High City, I had just joined the Mile High Club. Yeah, it was a weather girl from KPOT Denver, the weed. They called her Rocky Mountain Rachel. You should have seen her peak. Ender Valley. Hello.
Okay, all right. Could you just give us the forecast and get out of here?
Catch your red eyes.
You give her the forecast.
Another picture-perfect weekend. 50-50 shot of anticipation. Saturday high, sunny 80. First pitch, 74. Dripping down to 69 by the end of the game. Sunday, Eagles game day. Kickoff, 50-50 chance. They go 5-0. You heard it here first. Outro music, please. Tornado Shapiro.
All right. No outro music. That's it. Man. Tornado Shapiro. What do you think of that, Rube?
That was unique. He's unique. But he tells it like it is.
He does. He does. It like it all is. Of his stories are... Do you remember that? He told the story with you
course.
And Ike.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I remember it very vividly. Vividly.
I have no recollection.
No, of course not. Would never.
So, Rube, it's the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Better to get the Dodgers now or the NLCS? What do you think?
I would rather have them in a seven-game series just because I think that these are the two best teams in baseball, and it would be much better to play, I think, to find out who really is the best team by going by seven. But, hey, these are the rules we play by, and I think it's going to be a heck of a series as two really, really good baseball teams. And like I said, I think it's... It'll be great for the fans. I do hope that they put on a good show. And clearly, since I am a Phillies fan, born and raised, I'm hopeful that the Phillies prevail.
You know, it's funny. We were talking yesterday. I watched the two Dodgers-Reds games, and I came into the show yesterday just like, terrified. You know, I was right. So confident about the Phillies, and I had to watch the Dodgers for 2 days. Right. But then, I have some friends that live out in L.A., and I realized that Dodgers fans are also – worried about the Phillies.
Yes, they are.
You know,
and they should be.
Yeah, and I think it gives a little context of it, right? We just look at that team and we think of our inadequacies as a team, but they know theirs, right? And they look at our team too.
Yeah, so. And I think most teams have some level of warts. I mean, not every team is perfect. There's no super teams necessarily. And I think as far as just talent for talent, and when you start looking at position by position, how even these teams are and how good they are comparatively. I think it's, you know, I have to believe that the way the Phillies have played the Dodgers over the last few years, that they've played them very, very well. I know it's different in the playoffs, but I think that the Phillies should feel very good about how they played them and how they basically, you know, curtailed some of their offense. Hopefully they can do it again this series.
It has to matter that they played well against them this year, right? Everybody knows they are the defending world champions. You look at that lineup, and you say to yourself, man, how are you going to beat this team? But the Phillies have managed to do that. No, regardless of who was available, who wasn't available, both teams didn't have guys available. Fact of the matter is, you start this series, and the way the Dodgers played those two games, most people outside of here are already counting you out. But I think that's something this team can sort of use and benefit them as well.
I think that we just have to look at the first three guys in the lineup. Everybody says, well, you know, the Dodgers have Mookie Betts and Ohtani and Freddie Freeman. Well, the Phillies have Turner, Harper, and Schwarber. I mean, those are three great, great hitters. I mean, and, you know, we see them every day. So you see some of the, you know, some of the inadequacies or what have you, and see some of the foibles of some of these players. But the reality of it is, those fans are probably just as scared of our lineup as we would be of theirs. So they're talented. I think both teams are a little top heavy. I do believe that the Phillies have a lot more length in their lineup now compared to where they were in the beginning of the season. And I think that's where if there was an X factor in this series, I think the X factor is that the guys from the fifth hitter on are way better than they were in 2022. They're way better than they were in 2024. And I think that that's going to be very difficult for a team to navigate.
Rube, like, is there a time with the team where you look at them and you say, it's the year. I feel like we've had that moment with this team a couple times, but really you don't know until the postseason starts how it's going to go. But does it feel like the year for this team?
Well, I think in a lot of ways, you know, we really struggled with the fact that last year they had such a great start to the season, and they basically played 500 baseball from, what, May 1st on. I mean, it was a 500. They just didn't play great baseball through the end of the year. Well, this year is different. You know, they started off okay, and they, you know, held their own, but then they really started playing very good baseball towards the end of the year, and that's sort of what you want, is to you know, play your best baseball later on in the season so that it carries the momentum. And I think the team that they have now, as far as just pure talent is concerned, and I thought that they actually had better talent than a lot of teams in the past, you know, postseasons. But I just feel like these guys are poised. They've been through it. They've been through the ups and downs. I just do believe that this is, as you know, as good a chance as any to win the World Series.
You know, you've been a player and you've been a coach and an executive, so you have a really good perspective on a lot of this. This one in particular on Rob Thompson and the, not just the outfield platoon thing, but the Castellanos part of it, which is not easy, right? Not easy for Thompson, not easy for Castellanos, not easy for probably the other players that are taking his spot. How do you, first of all, the dynamics that go into that, you know, if you're in Rob Thompson's shoes, how do you handle that? And then, you know, how do you think that it has worked out? How do you, looking forward and looking into this point, how has Thompson managed that?
I mean, it is super difficult. I mean, I honestly think about what Rob Thompson has gone through over the last several weeks and to have to make this move. But I mean, number one, I think it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Number two, I think it was extraordinarily difficult when you have a player who literally had been signed to play every single day in right field and wants to play every single day in right field, to have to tell him, okay, guess what? You know, for the betterment of the team and for the best, you know, for us to be the best team we can be, you can't play every day. And that's a very difficult message to have to send. It's, you know, it could put, you know, your team in a tough position as far as the clubhouse is concerned. But I think that they handled it actually as well as you probably could have handled it. If I was Castellanos, I'd be pissed off.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right. And I you want him to be upset about it, but the reality of it is, this is probably the best thing for the team, and that's what you got to do. It's time now, in September and October, to play your best players to help your team win. And it's not necessarily about making people happy anymore. It's about making sure that at the end of the day, we have our best chance to put a W on the board.
Well, the thing that is so interesting to me is, you still need Castellanos, though. So
no doubt. You
have to find a way to do this. And there's no guarantee that you handle it any one way, you don't lose the guy, right? But you have to find a way to do it where he can still be a productive player. And to me, that is the biggest challenge. It's not hard to, if you don't need him anymore, to tell Castellanos he's not playing. But you do, right? I mean, he's going to be in there when lefties are up there.
Yes.
So it's not just about taking him off the field, but it's about getting the best out of him when he's on the field as well. That is the most interesting part of the challenge to me.
And it is probably the biggest part of the challenge, because you do need for him to be productive. And he's been productive. I mean, he's done a nice job of being able to work through this, of us, you know, unhappiness or what have you. But you know, that's just pride. I mean, like, you know this.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have pride in your craft. Like, I want to try to do my best as an athlete. I don't want to embarrass myself on the field. I want to do what I can to provide what is necessary to help this team. And ultimately, I believe that players get to a point where, you know what, I have to sort of swallow my pride because the reality of it is I want to win a ring. This is something I don't have. And people go through their whole careers without wearing one of those. They can have millions upon millions of dollars, and you don't have a ring on your finger. And there are so many players who, at the end of the day, they'll say to themselves, man, I wish I had one of those.
Yeah.
Imagine not having either one. Yeah. Like millions of dollars or the damn ring.
Yeah. That's how you host on WIP.
That's a bad combo platter. But I think that becomes something that's very important as you get older in this game. And he's made his money. He's going to make his money. And I think he has to understand, and I believe that he does, that, hey, this is the most important thing right now. This is a chance to really win a ring, and I got to swallow it.
Yeah. Pause. Listen,
we'll get into that later.
One of the brightest spots of this season, Rube, has been.
Cut that.
Yeah.
Oh, we will.
Don't worry.
Out of the Mount Rushmore.
Has been Christopher Sanchez. And he's going to get a chance to start game one. So excited for him. What do you think that's going to be like for him tomorrow in front of this home crowd? I mean, he's basically assuming the role of Zach Wheeler as the ace of the staff and setting the tone for this series. What's that going to be like for him?
I mean, I've been fascinated by his overall development from the time that he got to the big leagues with this team and to where he is now. I mean, he couldn't hit a broadside of a barn when he first came in. He had always had an unbelievable arm, but he made himself one of the best pitchers in baseball by the work that he did, the dedication he had, and I couldn't be happier for a player. Because, number one, he's a great person.
Yeah.
He really wants to do well. I only hope that he can control his emotions. He had one emotional game when he pitched against the Mets where things didn't go well. You hope that doesn't rear its ugly head. But I think that he's grown from that, and he really bounced back well from that to finish off the season quite well. And, you know, I fully expect him to have a good, strong outing. And hopefully the defense supports him. They make the plays behind him because that's important as well. One mishap or somebody, does something dumb on the field or, something happens, you just don't know how that player will react. I just feel like this kid has grown in leaps and bounds, and I'm just super happy for him. And how many teams can say, okay, we lost our number one, but we still have another number one that we can put out there, and Christopher Sanchez is the guy.
Well, Rube, your whole thing's always been starting pitching. I mean, it's super, super important. Who would you be your game two starter?
So I got Suarez my game two starter, if he's healthy enough. I think because I think I like to separate some of the differences. I mean, you have some power out of Christopher Sanchez with his fastball. You have some power out of Lizardo with his fastball and his overall stuff. I like to mix it up with someone who has a little bit more finesse to his game, a little bit more pitchability to his game. And I like to try to mix things up, so that would be my move. But gladly, happily, I'm not the manager to have to make that decision. But I just think having the separation in those two guys and these three different types of pitchers, I think is the right thing to do. That's where I'm at.
I actually have a Ruben Amaro question to Ruben Amaro. This is actually about you because sometimes we'll talk about Ike's evolution as a host, and when he first started, it's harder to be in the media because you're so close to having played, right? You've been doing media for a while now.
And because of you.
Because of me.
Because of you. Yes. I'll say that, Spike was actually the guy that actually had me become, get on WIP. Otherwise,
yes.
He and Angelo, he was the reason. So you can blame him for me being on
the last thing we need is for him to have someone else.
There's a long list.
That was my first meeting with WIP, with Spike and others.
It's a long
list.
Add
Rube to the list.
Yeah, it's a long list. But so where are you in... I said before, you were a player, you were a coach, you were a general manager, but now you're in a position where at times you have to be critical of all three of those things. I imagine the longer you do it, the easier it gets, but where are you in that whole evolution of being able to do that?
Yeah, so one of the difficult things is, as an ex-player and an ex-executive, is to be super critical. And I try to be... critical to the point where, listen, if I was the player or if I was the person making these decisions, I would also agree with what I would be saying. I mean, so I try to take a pretty objective approach on this with, you know, with regard to having some sensitivity that there is some, you know, there are some, you know, different factors that are associated with, you know, why someone makes a decision or why someone, you know, happened to fail at that particular moment. So I try to be critical to the point where I understand that these are human beings. Not everybody makes, you know, is perfect. These are not widgets. But at the same time, when someone makes a mistake and I'm on a call or I'm having a discussion, I mean, it sort of would strike to my own integrity if I did not point it out.
Right.
And I think I just try to be empathetic to that point. At the same time, just being objective about what's happening in the game.
Do you think this Philly season can end without a World Series and still call it a success?
I mean, I can because I can because I've sat in the seat. I know how difficult it is to win. I will say this, and people will not agree, but they can agree. The 2008 team was not the best, most talented team that these Phillies have ever had, and they won the World Series. They happened to be playing a much lesser team, a less experienced team. They played the best baseball at the right time, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you being the best and most talented team makes you a World Series winner. What makes you a World Series winner is playing the best baseball at the right time against a team that makes more mistakes. And if you can try to create those mistakes in some way, shape, or form, then you have a pretty good chance of winning the World Series. But it's hard to win, man. It's so difficult to win. So I do think that while most folks think that this, if they lose the World Series or don't get to the World Series or do not win the World Series, that this is a failure, I see it totally differently. I think that this team has had a very good season. I would be disappointed if they get knocked out in this round, but I don't think that this is something that I would consider a failure unless they fail so miserably at their craft in this series that, you know, maybe you do. I mean, a lot of it depends on how they play this series.
Yeah, the hard thing for me is, especially in baseball, because the playoffs are so, there's such a small difference between the levels of the teams, is when to know that even if you made the playoffs, this isn't the right mix moving forward. That is the hard thing, you know, that must be for a general manager to look and say, nah, it ain't right, or let's just roll it out again and hope that we hit this time.
Yeah, I think that is the difficult thing. I always believed in making some sort of changes. I don't know if it's 10% or 15% of your personnel or what have you, but I always believed in making some changes because I think with change you have growth. But, you know, this was a team that, you know, while they didn't make a ton of changes, I mean, the fact that Lizardo, I mean, people, forget. Like, this was, like, a huge move. This guy won, what, 15 games?
Yes.
I mean,
struck out 215 guys.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, that was a huge remember. Well, he's running, you know, Dave Dombrowski's running back. Well, I don't believe in that necessarily. I think a lot of the lineup they did, but also the players made some adjustments too. And so you have to hope that they grow a little bit. So I do believe that this is one of those seasons that is going to be sort of cathartic in that, if things don't go well or things do go well, you're going to see some change, some pretty significant change. You got a lot of free agents coming, and I think, you know, John Middleton put a lot of dollars and time and what have you into this ball club. But sometimes you do have to make some change.
All right, so coming up next, Tom McCarthy will join us as well.
T-Mac!
Also in the 4 o'clock hour, Jesus Lizardo will join us via phone.
Jesus!
We are at Stateside Live in South Philly for the Red October Rally. By the way, the Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's wants to wish our team good luck this October. Experience the difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. As the series gets closer, which are you feeling more, confident or nervous? 53% nervous. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Hey.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.